Time to talk some Pac-12 hoop down to a Final Four in Vegas. Been a little over a year since we chatted with our guest. Many of you recall he was a three-time All-Pac-10 performer for Washington. Some legendary head-to-head matchups with Gary Payton. 8 seasons in the NBA. Now with us, courtesy of the Pac-12 Network. Great to catch up, Eldridge Recastner. ER, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Everything is great. Let's start with this. Obviously, you remain close to the Washington program. They haven't been to the dance 5 years in a row. This season was a bad one. And everybody I know just loves Lorenzo Romar, the man. But how would you say his status is as coach? Going into next year, is he going to be on the hot seat?
Oh, no doubt he's going to be on the hot seat. But, you know, he's got a monster coming in, and Michael Porter Jr. So yep. I expect that guy by himself to turn things around. So I think Lorenzo will be okay.
All right. Yeah, we talked with Percy Allen of the Seattle Times, kind of echoed those sentiments. Some of the major Pac-12 awards were handed out in the past week. Sean Miller of Arizona. I'd imagine he got the award as Coach of the Year over Altman and Alford. He had to deal with the Trier suspension. One of his big gun recruits, Ray Smith, tore an ACL. 3 freshmen playing big roles. You like the decision to give the trophy to Coach Miller?
You know, I agree with it 100%. I thought he did an excellent job of managing a situation that was tough. You know, for most of the season, he only had 7 guys, you know, that he could rely on to play. Like you said, Ray Smith got injured. Alonzo Trier had his deal with the PEDs. And I thought Sean did an excellent job, man. Right behind him, I had Dana Altman, you know, with Dylan Brooks being out early and then Chris Boucher getting hurt. I thought he did an excellent job of managing his situation as well. But I tip my hat to Sean Miller and the Arizona Wildcats, man. They did an outstanding job. And I have no problem whatsoever with him being named Coach of the Year.
Nah, me either. I thought he was on the money. Player of the Year, I'm guessing it came down to Dylan Brooks and Lonzo Ball. Dylan gets the nod, missed some time injured. Like you said, his non-conference numbers were okay. But, man, he was something else in the Pac-12. We know about the clutch shots, the defensive play to beat Stanford. What was your read on Dylan Brooks being the Conference Player of the Year?
You know, I agree with that one as well, because I think I called 3 Oregon non-conference games early in the year. And they played Army, they played Boise State, and I forget what the other game was that I did, but all Dana Altman kept talking about was how nervous he was because Dylan Brooks wasn't out there, because Dylan Brooks was the heart and soul of the team. Dylan Brooks was the spark plug that made the engine go, and I thought he was really over-exaggerating. Then when I saw the way the Ducks were playing, I was like, wow. I thought they were kind of struggling a little bit without him. Obviously, they lost a couple games in the non-conference, but when he came back, man, he just made all the difference in the world. You know, that shot he hit against UCLA at home, and then the next game when he, what can you say, the guy's got a lot. It was my pick for player of the year as well.
All right, we're talking with Eldridge Recastner, Pac-12 Network. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, E. Recastner. Like you tweeted out, no surprise, Markel Fultz says he's going pro. When you played as a broadcaster, you've seen some remarkable freshmen. What do you like about this young guy's game that will translate well to the NBA?
Hell, everything translates well. There ain't nothing he can't do offensively. You know, he shoots the 3-ball. He's got a nice mid-rise game. He can take the ball to the rack and either dish it or dunk over somebody. You know, he averaged 24, 6, and 6. I don't think people understand how difficult that is for somebody that's a senior, much less a freshman. I mean, the kid is phenomenal. He's got a great attitude. He's not selfish. You know, he's not beating his chest every time he scores. And I think sometimes people think maybe he's just not competitive. He's not playing hard. But, you know, I love Markel Fultz and the way that he played. I just wish it would have translated into more wins for the University of Washington.
Nah, seeing him play, man, that kid is special. Let's get to Oregon, and obviously you know the league well. They had some great seasons under Ernie Kent. You know, they made the tournament 5 times his 13 years here. Now Dana Altman has him in the tournament 5 years in a row, off an Elite Eight. So the people you talk about, your observations, the folks you talk with in conference, what do they have to say about Dana Altman and what he's been able to do to elevate this program to this point?
Well, I think everybody on the broadcast side, you know, has a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Altman. You know, I personally think he's the most underrated coach in all of America. I mean, a guy loves being under the radar, and that's a good thing I think happened when Dylan Brooks was out. They had a chance to – they started the season ranked number 5 in the country, then they fell down a little bit because Dylan wasn't playing. But I know Coach Altman probably didn't want to lose the games, but I know he appreciated being back under the radar because he's another guy that you don't see pounding his chest, you know, looking for the spotlight. He just goes about his day-to-day business. And when you look up at the end of the season, Oregon's right there at the top of the list, you know, in the league, and they always make a decent run in the tournament. So I love Dan Altman, the way he coaches, the way he recruits. You know, I was just doing an interview yesterday, and I don't think any of the Oregon recruits were top 10 players. But, you know, you look at the success he has as a team, you know, somehow he's developed this pipeline to Canada with Dylan Brooks, Chris Boucher, and Dylan Ennis, and it's been paying off for him. But even before those guys, he was able to either get guys through transfers or guys that weren't highly recruited and develop him into great players. So I got the utmost respect for Dan Altman, man. I think he's an outstanding coach, but I do feel like he's underappreciated, not only in our conference, but nationally for sure.
Yeah, that's I hear that a lot. We continue with Eldridge Recastner of the Pac-12 Network. The only box he hasn't checked, obviously, the Final Four, whether they get in as a one or a two. I don't really see a dominant team in the country. So do you like Oregon's shot to make a run to Phoenix? And what would be some of the elements of this team that you like that would lend itself to maybe getting in that Final Four for the first time?
Oh, I love the Ducks' chances, you know, and I think the thing that gives them the edge over UCLA and Arizona is they've been there and done that before. You know, they made a deep run last year and only got derailed, in my opinion, because of the nonsense with Dylan Brooks and Coach Cade with Duke. You know, I think that took the focus off basketball, Oregon, for a little bit, and the only reason they didn't make the Final Four. But, you know, they've got the experience, they've got the talent. You know, the thing that makes them so special is they got two of the best shot blockers, not only in the Pac-12 Conference, but in the country. And Jordan Bell and Chris Boucher and those guys are just monsters, man. The only thing that worries me is Chris Boucher has been coming off the bench since he injured his ankle. And I just don't know if Oregon can make it to the Final Four with him continuing to come off the bench. So I'm interested to see, even in his Pac-12 championship games, if the Duck makes it, if he's going to be inserted back into the starting lineup. Because I just would like to have my two top dogs defensively on the court at the same time from the beginning of the game. But, you know, Oregon's got a lot of balance. They shoot the three ball well. You know, they play really unselfishly. And the thing that really separates them, I think, from UCLA is they defend the basketball also. If UCLA could commit to defense the way Oregon and Arizona does, then I tell you what, they would probably be the team to beat. But you ask me who I think can make it, I think Arizona, UCLA, and Oregon, I think all got a great shot at making the Final Four because not only are the top three teams in the Pac-12, they're three of the best teams in all of college basketball.
I want to get to Cal. I guess we could talk about Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, 4 weeks ago, It looked like they were a lock. They were in, then some tough losses. They played awful last weekend. And before Utah last night, the only teams they had beaten the last month were Oregon State. I mean, what do you make of this team? They're so erratic. Do you think they need this one to assure themselves to get in?
I think so. I think they, you know, I said it before the tournament started, I thought they needed to win two games. You know, can they beat Oregon? I don't think so. But, you know, you talk about them being in the driver's seat, man, and they were, but I think they've had problems all year because they started the season without Jabari Bird. Then Ivan Rabb got injured. Charlie Moore was playing really well early on. Then Bird comes back, Rabb is back, and all of a sudden his role changes. And I think they're just now starting to gel because Charlie Moore had a great game last game, and so did Jabari Bird. You kind of know what you're going to get from Ivan Rabb. You know, he's a double-double guy. You know what you're going to get from him. But I think the key to Cal, man, is Jabari Bird has to play at a higher level, or they just won't have any success at all.
Final thought for Eldridge Recastner of the Pac-12 Network. Let's get to Arizona and UCLA. And by the way, thank you, basketball gods, for this one again. Each one on the other guy's court, now it's neutral. Obviously, it's only a matter of how high of a seed they get. But what do you make of this matchup? And do you give either the Bruins or Cats much of an edge here?
I don't give any team an edge. You know, I think they're both evenly matched. I think Arizona's a little bit better defensively than UCLA. But I think UCLA is a little bit better offensively than Arizona. So I think this is going to be a great game, you know, for the Pac-12 Conference nationally. Two of the best teams in all college basketball, three great freshmen. You know, you talk about Lonzo Ball, P.J. Leaf, and Laurie Markin in a seven-footer that can just flat-out shoot the ball as well as anybody in the country. It's going to be a great matchup, man. I can't wait to see it.
All right. Hey, listen, I know we got a lot going on. It's an awesome time of the year. It's great catching up with you, Eldridge. You be well, and we hope we get a chance to talk again down the road.
Thanks a lot, man. I was just here. I'm at the Pac-12 Hall of Honor ceremony, so I'm going to stick my head back in and enjoy that. You guys have a great day.
Take it easy.